that you really enjoy doing. Maybe it's a project you're working on. Maybe it's a hobby. And let's just say you have this gift of time and all you have to do is what you want to do. And you can work on it and you don't want anyone to mess it up. See, when I think of that, my five-year-old, Zach, builds these little Lego empires. I shouldn't say they're little, they're big. And I'm very proud of him. He's going to make a great engineer one day. But he will build up these elaborate things. But he's got a problem in life. And that problem in life is his little brother, Ben. Now, I have a picture which would have showed you, but Ben is Dr. Destructo to anything in the house. My older three no longer think Ben is cute because he's past that threshold now where you should just sit there and do nothing. He was cute when he wouldn't get in their way. He was cute when he wouldn't mess with their hobbies, with their projects. Whereas now, Ben loves to dodder over and what's that? And there go these fantastic towers and cities that Zach has built, destroyed. It's like Godzilla walking in the midst of it. You know, we all have things that we enjoy doing that are my time. This is mine. This is important to me. I don't want anyone to mess with it. I want you to think of that which is most precious to you, that you say, I don't want anyone to mess with it. But fortunately, God isn't like that, because God invites us to be involved in the project which means more to him than anything else here in this world. And you can turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, these are some of the last words that Jesus said before he ascended to heaven. Very well-known passage in Scripture. Jesus says this in Matthew 28. And when someone says something just before they are about to leave, it's important and he wants you to think about it. Jesus said this in Matthew 28, verse 18. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus' command to people was, I want you to go and introduce people to me so that they will follow me, and that is going to be the project that matters to me more than anything else. It will build my church. Later on in the New Testament, and I'll just read this to you, in Colossians chapter 1, it says this in verse 6, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You see, it's amazing to me that God invites us to participate in his project. I mean, if I was God, and it's a good thing I'm not, the last thing I would want is a bunch of little sinners running around messing with my work. Think about it. Think of when you were growing up, your little brothers, your little siblings, just running around, tearing up everything you did. Yet God says, hey, come on, I want you involved in my work. It's phenomenal. Yet too often, we kind of, you know, we get used to things in church world and we kind of take that for granted. But the fact of the matter is, the God of the universe says, I invite you to participate in my work. Yet all too often, we get sidetracked. We get distracted. Now I want you to turn ahead in your Bible now to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'll pick it up in verse 5. 1 Corinthians is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to a church that was in disarray. It was a group of people who had been invited into this mission, this fantastic project that God invited them into, yet they were really distracted. And they weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. And the action picks up, or I'll pick it up in verse 5. Starting in verse 5, see, because the people in the church had gotten all, you know, no, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, no, I'm about this. And Jesus says, wait a minute, it's my project, you're following me. But they were getting distracted. Verse 5, Paul speaking, and he says, what after all is Apollos? And what is Paul? They're only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered, but God made it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. We're God's project. Several things we need to think about in this project that God has going on. First of all, it's not about us. It's about him. We hear that a lot. It's become kind of a trite saying almost in church circles. But it really is all about him. God says, you know, I don't want you to get all the attention. I want my son, Jesus, to get the attention. And the way you do things should draw attention to him. But I don't want you to flip to the other extreme and say, oh, I'm nothing. I can't do anything. Don't slip to that extreme either, because each of us can be a very important piece of the puzzle to this project that God is working on. You imagine just opening a puzzle box. You pull out one piece. Well, in and of itself, it's not much. But when you fit it in where it belongs, it completes something. And that's the way God wants us to see ourselves. He has called us to take part in his project, his garden, his field, his building. And each of us can play a role. You see, we each have different gifting. We have different experiences. We've all gone through suffering. And God says, I can use all of that if you will give it over to me. If you will allow me to work through all those things that have happened to you, I can use you to help in my project. That is amazing. But too often we think of church as just a hospital. And church is so much more than a hospital. Can you imagine a hospital where people come into it and maybe they get brought in on an ambulance, maybe they come in under their own power, but they need to get made better. But then after they've been there for that week or however long it is, they start going, man, hey, the food here is awesome. And this bed, this is pretty cool. You know, I can control it. It moves up and down. I kind of like this. I want to stay here forever. No hospital would ever be like that. The purpose of a hospital is to patch you up and so that you can get back out into life. The church really shouldn't be thought of just as a long-term hospital. We're more like a MASH unit, where warriors get taken in from the battle, we get patched up, and then we get sent back out. Because God has a project that he calls us all to. He invites us in to work. The amazing thing at the end of that passage in verse 9, did you see that we're God's fellow workers? God partners with us to do his work. That's amazing. So not only is this the God of the universe who invites little us to be involved in his project, but he says, I want to partner with you. That's a pretty high calling. And he doesn't just say that to the elite. He doesn't say, well, you know, when you've accomplished this much for me, then I'll grant you partner status. He says to everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, welcome on board. I've got a role for you. I want you to play a part in building my church where you are and all around the world. Think about this. God wants us focused on reaching people for him. He wants us to build his church, and that means he wants to add to its numbers, and that's through us going out, introducing people to Jesus and them coming to faith in him. And then he also wants to build us in our depth, in our maturity. Church building is God's project. It's what matters to him more than anything else on this planet. So think about it. We've got opportunities all around us. We've gone to two services. There's a lot of empty seats. And again, as we've said before, it's not so you can kick your feet up. It's not so you can fall asleep in the sermon and lie down for your comfort. It's so people can come and hear about Jesus Christ. And then, you know, there's a lot of building going on around here. Pretty soon our building, Lord willing, will hit capacity. Wouldn't it be fantastic if we went out and started planting churches all around this region? Something for us to shoot for. God doesn't want us to be just like a hospital that gets to the point where we say, wow, the food is great here, I'm comfortable, I love the gadgets and gizmos. No, God wants us patched up and sent out so we can invite other people to Jesus Christ. And we can do that right here. But you know, God's project is huge, which is all the more amazing that he invites us to participate in it. And we have the privilege of having with us Bob and Myra Trelease. Could I just get you two to stand so people could see you? Bob and Myra really are our missionary, some of our grandparents, if you will, of Nicaragua. We've had a long involvement with the work that is going on there. And we did have a very cool video for you to look at, but now you got a very cool guy you can come up and look at him. Bob, why don't you tell us a little bit about how the Lord led you all to Nicaragua. And we're going to improvise this, folks. This is all improv right here. So, Bob, why don't you come on up and share, and then I might ask you a few questions, and then we have some other things that we're going to, and some other people we want to invite up here and talk about the work in Nicaragua. So, Bob, come on up and tell us what's going on, and then we'll talk some more, and we'll figure it out as we go along. Hey, there we go. All right.